the winning sound of Network Sports.
Well, good evening to all of our listeners, and welcome to another edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados 92.9 FM. I'm Dr. Andrew Ford, filling in for Andrew Mason again, who is busy running the radio stuff for this T20 tournament. Remember that you must call us at 4341-790. But Mason and Guest wouldn't be possible without our sponsors, ESA Fuel White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESA Fuel White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come.
This T20 tournament. Remember that you must call us at 4341-790. But Mason and Guest wouldn't be possible without our sponsors, ESA Fuel White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESA Fuel White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell the bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want. ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Well, as usual, lots of things happened this week in cricket, but I think we're fixed on the West Indies versus Bangladesh series, which concluded quite hurriedly and unexpectedly just less than an hour ago, with Bangladesh winning by 101 runs and squaring the series. But of course, not to be in a vacuum, we also have the recently named ODI team by the West Indies and Haley Matthews helping to lead the Melbourne Renegades to a WBBL title, and lots of other things. But it would be remiss of me to not lead with the more recent news of our defeat just less than an hour ago. You know, it's a test series with West Indies, who are rated eighth in ICC test standings, against Bangladesh, and with West Indies being at home. And I don't think Bangladesh has won a match here for about 15 years in tests. And we lost most of the first day due to rain, and Bangladesh decided to be a bit aggressive, knowing that they needed a win to square the series. And you must give credit to them, knowing that they had spinners. They realized they had to bat first and give their spinners a chance on the oldest version of the wicket. And I think we were feeling pretty good after the end of the Bangladeshi innings, since we dismissed them for 164, with 64 to Islam, and Seals having the wonderful figures of 15.5 overs, 4 wickets for just 5 runs. You know, a model of economy and one of the great spells, I guess, in modern cricket. West Indies wanted to stamp their authority. It got to 85 for 2 and looked pretty good overnight, and then early on the second morning, but we collapsed for 146 with a 18-run deficit, with Rana getting 5 for 61. Very hostile young fast bowler we hadn't seen, and he exposed us severely. But in the second turn at the wicket, Bangladesh was much more aggressive. They upped the run rate, and with Roach off the field after being struck twice on the shoulder, they took command of the match and scored 268. And, you know, we didn't have a spinner, and each of our bowlers chipped in, but they gave us quite a command in total. And then this evening, we batted for 50 overs and tried to be a bit more aggressive, but didn't make it in the end. Tyjul, the spinner, getting 5 for 50, and Hodge scoring a pretty interesting 55 using his feet. One of the few of our batsmen who looked good. Tyjul was a man of the match, and Seals for his 10 wickets, the West Indian player of the series, and Taskin, who had wrecked us in the first match that we won by 201 runs, getting 11 wickets. So it's still early in the piece, but of course I am not alone. I have Don Topley and, of course, Philo Wallace. I think you guys have eagerly watched the proceedings thus far with the West Indies team. And of course, I have to say that not that a case that we'll have our knives out, but remember, you can call and have your say to at 4341-790. Don, what do you think about what transpired today and generally in the series?
Well, a good evening to you, Doctor. Good evening to Philo, and good evening to everybody else wherever you're listening, and I hope you're all well. Look, we're going to have to be a little bit honest here. West Indies made 146 and 185. You're not going to win too many games unless you do something rather special. So I think maybe your batting in this test match was your Achilles heel. I thought you played so well. I wasn't on last week, so I didn't have a chance to comment, but I thought in the first test you played really well. This week, Bangladesh, and they're known throughout the world as street-fighting cricketers. They find a way with their spinners, with their batters. They find a way. And I just feel maybe you'll be a bit disappointed with the two batting performances with low scores of 146 and 185. But you were under pressure today, and I thought they came out and showed actually quite a lot of spirit in winning that game. So that's a little bit for me. I have to say, Doctor, that I did, now the England West Indies series was finished, I hope you don't mind, but I did retreat to the beach once or twice.
Okay, once you weren't sunburnt. Philo, your opening remarks.
Hi, good evening, Dr. Ford. Good evening, Don. All the people who are listening and obviously tuning into this program, I want to say hello to Sherlock Hart, my friend Boogie Boy, Carlos, who is recovering, and Evan. I want to congratulate, first of all, Dr. Ford England for beating New Zealand in New Zealand. I also want to congratulate Hayley Matthews and DeAndre Dottin as well for leading their respective BBL sides, women BBL sides, to victory. I think I thought that they played well, although DeAndre got run out against a run of play. That's been a little careless, but Hayley continues to show her class, and hopefully she will continue to do well for us. And obviously, West Indies women are going to be in India soon. When you look at how we played in this test match, it's a stark difference to what we played in Antigua, or how we played in Antigua. I thought we played a good test match in Antigua, a solid test match, getting big scores, over 400 runs. But in order to get that, we had good contributions, Justin making, obviously, getting the test debut 100 there. First test 100, I must say. Then we got good contributions from Alec Antanas and Dickie Lewis. So going into Jamaica, one would have felt that the batting was okay. But I think they ran up on a guy called Rana, who's the fastest bowler in the world. And he's from a country named Bangladesh, who don't produce fast bowlers, but they found a special one. And they had him in Cotterwell in Antigua, and they released him in Jamaica, and he showed us the class and what fast bowling can do. Bangladesh, I thought, were brave to win the toss and bat first, but they batted first and they defended the total because they knew that once they got the ball into the right area, so that pace, it's going to affect our batters. And we saw in the first innings, our batters don't like it quick. A lot of them play a lot of leg side shots. And the young man got 5 wickets. Congratulations to him. And obviously setting up a second innings where Bangladesh decided, look, we're just going to play our game and then come into the strengths. And they did that. And they batted wonderfully well to post a total that would have been the highest total for West Indies to win at Sabina Park. And we failed miserably. When you look at it again, I like Taj. I think that guy Taj is a very good left-arm spinner. He's cunning. And you see that Hodge batted well, and I heard commentators saying he used his feet well, but he plays back a lot. And you can't play back to a cutting left-hand spinner on a fourth-day pitch in test match cricket. And he bowled well. He bowled a lot of guile. You have to also commend that young captain as well, who's standing in for Shanto. And he read the play well, and he rotated his bowlers quite magnificently. And Bangladesh came out on top. I heard a lot of banter from West Indies players, but that didn't deter them. They were focused and they executed well. I must congratulate Bangladesh for joining the series, and that is a massive moral booster for them. And now they realize, Dr. Ford, that pace is it. They have 3 quality quicks, and I believe there's some more in Bangladesh. So they realize that once you have quality fast bowlers, you're going to win many, many more test matches than lose.
Yeah, well, certainly they are poised to rise and to do better. I mean, like India, they have some quality fast bowlers and spinners, and that's, you know, makes you able to do stuff on all services. Don, before you come in, I see that we have Darren Powell, who's our former West Indian fast bowling guest. So Darren, I guess you may have been close to the action, so you got to see us bowling and doing well at the beginning. So, I mean, have a look at some of our young quicks and tell us what you think about them. I mean, for this match and maybe for the series.
Good evening. Thanks for having me. The bowlers we have, I am pretty pleased to see the way they are bowling our seamers. The only thing I would have is Alzar Joseph. I believe that he needs to bowl a bit more fuller in length. Sometimes he is like, you know that he's going to be bowling, you know, back of a length or short balls at you. With his speed, I believe he can try to get the batters to play a bit more, you know, on the front foot. Not for driving length, but a short of a good length. These days, these people don't call it short of a good length anymore. They call it hard length. So I believe that that's the thing that Azar Joseph need to work on. When you look at Shamar Joseph, he has, you know, come into this game a different player. Last week, about three or four catches drop off him and he, you know, laugh it out. But this time around, he came in and he worked hard again. And he bowled pretty consistent and he picked up a few wickets. But Seals has impressed me. I didn't know much about him. I heard him in the region cricket, but I have a friend in England when he was there, you know, told me about his thoughts about Seals. And when you look at the way he bowls in the first test and then coming off here again in the second test, it is showing that he has been growing game by game. And it is very good to see that West Indies now have found, you know, not only one or two bowlers which can do the job, but actually have now four bowlers who actually played in the same test matches and did us proud.
Yeah, well, you missed out our all-rounder, Graves. I know he didn't. He played a minor part, but you would have seen a little bit of Graves. He didn't get the bulk of the bowling, as you'd expect, but any words on Graves? Darren?
When I look at Graves, I don't see him to me as that all-rounder. I see him more as a sound batsman. When I saw him in Australia and coming to this series, I can see that it's two different players. He's more compact now and he's looking to, you know, to bat as a proper batsman. It's unfortunate that he got both.
Okay. I think he's got a bit stuck. Don, I think you were... I kind of interrupted your flow there. There was something that you were going
to
say.
Was bowling straight to you. But he looks to me... he looks to me more like he has gone, you know, in the nets, work on his game and improve a lot. When you look at what he did in the 50 overs and then move into the test series and scored his maiden test century, he looks to me as a good mid-order batsman. I wouldn't want him for him now to really concentrate on a Jason Holder kind of thing. And we have to find some room that we can bring back Jason Holder and get that all-round in the team.
Yeah, well, certainly we're going to talk about that a little later. Don, I interrupted you. You had your hand up earlier.
No, I was interested to hear what Philo was saying. There was a little bit of comment and discussion about the West Indies batting. Were they staying in line? Were they a little bit leg side against the pace? I mean, if you just go back years, and I don't want to harp on about it, but the Haynes and Greenwich, Viv, your wonderful players of old, you know, is technique coming in? Is it, you know, for Philo to, as a batting coach, as a batsman who's done it, you know, I used to bat at number nine. But is that a good question to ask about the technique of some of the West Indies batsmen? Philo, what's your thoughts there? Yeah.
No, I think it's a fair question. Our batters don't like quick bowling.
Does anybody?
But you don't have a choice if you're playing international cricket or cricket as an opener, your bowling will be quick. I think that what needs to happen is that our batters stay to leg side of the ball. And when the ball comes down on the length just inside the off stump, behind the bats out, and they get catched down behind there. I think that when you're looking at playing fast bowling, you mentioned three greats, you need to line the ball up by getting behind the line of the ball by covering your off stump. And cricket is an offside game. The bowlers are drilled to bowl at off stump or just outside off stump. So if the bowlers are drilled to bowl at off stump or outside off stump, and you want to get hit the ball, you've got to come across the off stump, hit the ball. If you look at how Gavin Hodge got bowled out, he was outside leg stump and flinching at the ball, and there's a brilliant catch. But if you line that ball up properly, he could have punched that ball or even leave it alone. The same thing as Mikael Louie. He doesn't have a trigger movement with his back foot. I know people talk about modern-day batters, but modern-day batters, nothing is fundamental principles. You cover your off stump to pick up the line of the ball, the message goes to your brain, your left foot goes forward, or you go further back. If the ball is full, you go forward. If the ball is short, then back, you go further back. Mikael Louie stands up on leg stump, puts his left foot straight down the center of the pitch, and drives at the ball and knees off. So those are fundamental problems, and sort of in England, I know we're seeing them reoccurring again. I don't discuss Greg Bradford because he has his own style and technique, and I think that he has three more test matches to play to 100. Congratulations to him once he gets there, and I hope that he will show some consistency. But when you look at the all batters, Alec Antanas, you know, again, got a 90 and no consistency again, two low scores in Jamaica, have a tour going to Pakistan. So in the new year. So our batters need to consolidate now. They go home, but so not in the white ball series. They go home and they should work on the game, get some time in the nets and spend quality time videotaping and work on the techniques. They need to get closer to the ball. And it's quite sad to see where our batters are falling off. And they're even going to go down to De Silva. He doesn't even want to hit the ball anymore now. He's pushing his foot inside the line of the ball and playing around. And he's been LBW so many times. It's unbelievable that he uses a bat.
Well, I think, Philo, you've mentioned what is a litany of insecurities and flaws, which kind of explains why we are in the position we're in. But I see Neil Barry is on. I know Neil you may have...
Don't run away.
Did you say
don't
something?
Don't run away from that what...
No, yeah. we haven't...
Don't
we
run
haven't,
away from what Philo has said.
No, we haven't exhausted this topic, you know. I was just kind of summarizing and going to it.
One second.
Of course,
we could
talk about it for two whole hours, you know that.
One second. The only recommendation for that is that these young players who are playing in the test matches, I believe you should rule them out of T20 cricket. Then you will find them getting behind the ball some more. Simple.
Well, it would mean that we are unlike other players and countries where players can play all three formats. I mean, it to suggest that we are either intellectually or technically unable to fluctuate and move from T20 to 50 over to Test cricket, and that when people, players from India, Australia and elsewhere are able to do it, I think would be to, you know, do us a disservice. I believe that players do have an ability. It has to do a lot of concentration and decision making. And we do know that being fit allows you to concentrate and to make better decisions. But I do appreciate what Philo said, because the stats do bear that out. Because essentially what's happened is that each of our players that passed 100 runs, if you look at Graves and Athanase and Louis and Brathwaite, they all had maybe one score, but they had three very small scores. So we weren't able to really dominate as a batting team. Don, I think you want to say something?
Yeah. I didn't want to set off an explosive, but I agree.
You knew that would happen.
But what I'd like to comment is, this is nothing new. This is nothing new. Okay, we're talking about Test cricket, and we're also talking about the advancement of white ball cricket and techniques. This is a discussion and an issue throughout the world. But can I just drag you all back, probably with respect, I'm the oldest fella on this panel. Philo's a lot younger than me. But the point I want to make is, I remember having a wonderful learning conversation with one of your greats. Sadly, he is no longer here. I was in awe of Malcolm Marshall. I played against him often against Hampshire. And you know, like Richard Hadley, he was a hero to me too. But I remember walking off with Macko at Southampton at the old ground, and I was like a sponge. I would ask the senior players about information, and I would try and soak it all up. And I remember saying to Malcolm Marshall, "Tell me, Graham Hick, he murders a county attacks. He's a very fine player. Why does he not do it at the very top level?" And Malcolm Marshall looked me in the eye and said, "Man, he doesn't get behind the ball. He doesn't line it up and get behind the ball." So there's an example that happened back in the 80s, 90s. But what I'm trying to say is, you talked about, does the West Indies players, has there enough ability? Is there X? Is there Y? The one thing that I would say to you as a group, as a panel, and to people listening, the one thing is, do your players have an inner desire to be successful at Test cricket? The week before they batted, you even had someone like the senior pro, Kemar Roach, bowling nicely, very skillful bowler, as I've said on this program, but he hung around with the batting, he showed a desire, he took a splendid catch. What I'm saying to you is, as a modern day cricketer, if I was a coach, I'd be demanding that the modern day cricketer finds the resilience, the desire to stay out there and practice and work as hard as anything to get behind the ball. Yes, there'll be different and there'll be a slightly different technique next week, but you've got, for me, and Philo's a batsman, I was number nine, as I said. I need, as a coach, I coach Zimbabwe in South Africa, but I want to find out if this player has the inner desire to get behind the ball.
Okay,
do you
so
understand
we'll,
what I mean by
yes,
that?
Yes, I do understand you very well, and we'll speak on desire and other things, but Mason and Guess is brought to you by ESA Feel White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESA Feel White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Yeah, well, thanks for having you back. And remember, we are taking calls at 4341790. Good contribution, Don. I don't know if coaches can coach desire. I think desire is intrinsic. Someone has to have a dream and, you know, want to really reach a certain place within their profession. And right now, we've talked about our batting and its deficiencies thus far, but our best batsman is rated 53, which is Craig Brathwaite in the ICC ranking. So I believe that when we discuss our deficiencies in batting, that I think the stats and positioning does, you know, kind of reinforce the issues that we will have. Neil, I'm not sure. Neil Barry, I'm not sure how long you have to stay with us, and I wouldn't want to keep you out for longer. Neil, are you with us? Well, maybe he's stepped away, so we can keep going down this road. But Philo, as Don said, yes, we do have issues with
batting.
Hi,
good evening.
Oh,
Dr.
Neil,
Ford.
That was a delayed entry, but I'm glad that you've been able to come back to us. I don't know how long you have. I know that you may want to speak a little bit on the test we've been talking about, but you may also want to tell us, we may take a slight detour and talk about GSL. I don't know if that's what you wanted to talk about.
Good evening to you and your esteemed panel, Darren, long time no see. Phil, of course, and your new guest. It's interesting listening to the conversation. I like Don's point of view of trying to get the player to focus on playing the test, and that's something we've been trying to do for years. But I think we really need to look at the environment where you're creating these players in, and how the environment has adapted over the years to the various forms of the game. There's no doubt that T20 cricket is here to stay. Since 2006, I'll give you guys a little story. Coaching at my club, parent came to me and asked if I can coach their child to win $1 million because Guyana just won the Sanford T20 tournament. And it shocked me that someone can come and ask if he can coach a 10-year-old to win $1 million. It's not about coaching them to play cricket. And if you fast forward that and you take that scenario and play it across the region now over the last 18 years or so, you can see exactly where our culture has gravitated to. It's not about representing the West Indies and doing well at Test cricket. Coming from the homes and in the communities and from the fans who are supporting in many parts of the Caribbean, it's all about the player making money. Without explaining to the player coming up to the system that, you know, money's there to be made in all sport, but you've got to be the best at your game. And you've got to focus on the important parts of the game, like learning the game, creating that environment where the player can understand representation at the team sport. And the better you do, the better your team do, is the better for everyone. So I think that's where our problem lies. It lies in the environment in which we're creating and developing our cricketers in. Different islands and countries have it, of course, a different methodology. Barbados, I know you guys still prioritize playing the longer version and playing hard cricket. But is that the case throughout the region? I can tell you, in Guyana, it's not.
Interesting comment.
Indiana is definitely not.
Interesting first comment. But what we'll do is we let in a caller early, and Mason and guests, thanks for calling. Let's hear your contribution, caller.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, We're not hearing you very well, sir.
No, sir,
Can you please put down a call back? We're not hearing you too well.
Yeah, that was a bit strange, but I'm sure that we will get to hear that call again. The environment for cricket, I guess we're still in the same islands. Everyone is exposed to cricket internationally. Oh, we have our caller again. Mason and guest, sir. Keep going.
Good evening, Doc. How are you?
I'm fine.
The reason I call in here on a point I want to get to, right? Amir was discussing this with some friends and things that we had the march to Jamaica and Barbados. We had a reserve there.
We had a reserve there
for Boscobel and Pitwick. So I want to know the reason why we didn't have a reserve there for Jamaica Barbados match.
Well, I can't speak. I can't speak for the CWI, but I guess it may be an economics thing. TV rights and also the cost of putting on a match, the rental of the venue. I guess maybe the economics may preclude that, or maybe they were advised because of that the weather would have been so good it wouldn't have been necessary. We don't know, but it is an unfortunate thing that they didn't have a reserve day. That's true.
Oh yeah, one final thing I want to ask you. I understand that the price for this match between Barbados and Jamaica was supposed to be $150,000, right?
Yes, sir.
And I understand that both teams getting $25,000 each, which is $50,000. So I would like to know really at $100,000 going.
Well, you're trying to infer that it's disappeared, but actually,
it's 150 supposed to be the game. 150 supposed to be at the top. Yeah. So I know that there's no winners. It's only $50,000 piano. Where the $100,000 going?
The word forfeit explains. The word forfeit explains the mathematical problem you're trying to solve. Basically, the final was forfeited, and with that forfeiture, the winnings were also forfeited. So I think this is a matter that will play out later. We were able to glean that, from the Jamaican standpoint that the captain has, you know, hurriedly sent out an apology. It was also suggested that the playing conditions weren't left something to be desired. And also the coach, Robert Haynes, did mention that, you know, with 5 hours of inactivity, that maybe less than an hour wasn't enough for people to be taped up and to warm up. And that may have been a reason why they didn't come on the field. I'm not aware of an official word from the Barbados Cricket Association, but you know, it's unfortunate. What I would say again is that CWI is a struggling concern economically and otherwise as it stands with the status of West Indies in all rankings and in cricket generally.
Sorry, one moment. There you are. I don't understand these big words you're talking, so you got to kind of make clear.
Forfeiture?
You got to kind of let me understand what's going on clearly.
Tell me the word.
I was understand that the umpire wanted the man to toss, but the coverage was still on the wicket. How you can spin a toss with coverage on the wicket? That means I have no intention of playing, so it can't be in the captain. I said it can't be in the captain. You got a manager that knows going on too. You agree with me?
Well, I wasn't there, and we don't know the specifics, but to be more succinct with my point, I think that this type of a black eye doesn't help cricket in the region. It would have been better to come up with some sort of middle ground and then to have a press release to that effect. I don't think that chaos at the end of a 50-over tournament really helps us, because we want to have a winner, and people played for weeks to resolve this tournament. To have a winner and not to have a winner is most unfortunate, and then to be, you know, segued into controversy doesn't help at all. But I appreciate the point, caller, and we thanks a lot.
It has to be
a minute, because the phones are lighting up like a Christmas tree.
One minute.
60 seconds.
One minute. You listen to me?
Of course I am.
I would like to know, if you go a 40-over match, you can't get any 40-over. I don't feel the match to start. If you can't get in 40-over, done with it. Okay. Do you agree?
Well, thanks for your opinions, but there are rules that kind of drive these things, and they do have, you know, if the 40-overs can't be completed, there are other solutions. Can we take another call? Or okay. Well, yes, but that was an interesting diversion, but we'll probably get back to that point. But let's go back to our test match situation here. So we did talk about the West Indian bowlers. I think Darren told us that they weren't that bad, and we have a lot to be proud of. I guess we could discuss, should we have had a spinner in the lineup, considering just to balance the attack. We know that Australia goes nowhere without Nathan Lyon. We did see India play all quicks and win a test match at Perth. But the thing is, do we really need to have some diversity in our bowling, Darren, even though you're a former fast bowler?
I am of the belief that we should now think cricket on the series and on the particular venue in which we're going to host or play the game. Bangladesh is coming home. When you look at the wicket in Antigua, I was pretty surprised that the wicket played so well. I was looking for a wicket that was going to get slow as the match go on and stuff like that, but it didn't happen. And they come back here in Sabina Park. Normally, spinners do well when they touch the fourth day into the fifth. But we're playing a Bangladeshi team, and getting it with the four seamers is only because, to me, as a strategic plan, that, you know, Bangladesh are not good at batting pace bowling. So going to the in this series with four seamers, that is good. Later on, when we're heading down to Pakistan, I will expect that we have Moti in the team, which can bring a balance to the attack, where you might have three seamers or two seamers. You might have Jason Holder again that comes in. So based on the condition of play, I believe that, you know, you can make that mix now. But it is very good that we have four seamers. Now we have Moti, which is doing well or had done well. and is improving as the days go by. My only concern was just put him in, as I said, I don't really like when players are learning the art. You know, you just push them boop into the 2020 because it's going to change every format of their bowling or batting style. But Moti is a good choice and is a good blend, but not for the series for me.
Don, you were coming in with a point earlier.
Yeah, funny enough, it was reference your last caller. Sorry, I'm going off at a tangent. Cricket sometimes doesn't help itself. Your last caller was criticising the board or the, about the games in the Barbados, Jamaica, and the point I would raise is cricket does not help its own cause at times. The lack of communication between not just the Cricket West Indies, but the ECB and other people within the game could be a lot better. And I think they're all, it's all been proven before that their lack of communication doesn't help their cause. So I understand, I was just trying to be sympathetic towards that caller, that the cricket does need to change and it needs to be a little bit more progressive with its communication. Sorry, I went off.
Yeah, I mean, it's a useful comment. I think that, you know, with 5 hours of inactivity, there was lots of time for communication and it seems like something got lost there along the way. As far as that was concerned, Philo, about 6 catches or more went down in the series by the West Indies. Yes, catches win matches, and sometimes you can have difficult ones. But I mean, we can look at the fielding and the catching and what effect that may have had on the series. Philo,
well, Doc, the catches were dropped because of the pace. And I asked the question, how many of our slippers in the West Indies team feel a slip for their franchises? Now, a slip fielder, I'm feeling a slip is a specialist position. You can't put in and everybody in slip. And then when you look at it, our slippers are short. So if the ball is bouncing and the guy's glove it or edge it, it's going to go over most of the heads. And then they drop the ball. But again, it is practicing that position with perfection and skill, and also hitting the ball and the ball to come at you quickly. That is what happens when you edge the ball on quick pitches. It gets to the slippers a lot faster, and they have limited time to react. But I think that the catches that were dropped, some were easy, some were not so easy. But again, we dropped catches in Antigua, we dropped catches in Jamaica. We bowled Bangladesh in the first innings to 164, which is not a big first innings total to overhaul. So it doesn't come down to back to dropping catches. It comes down to the discipline of our batting. Our batting should have batted a lot better in Jamaica on a good pitch.
Definitely, definitely.
And it only started to show a little wear and tear. The fourth day. So it is our batting that let us down in this series. Not really the catching. Our bowlers, congratulations, Jaden Seal. But our bowlers held their own.
Okay, Philo, we'd like to take another call. We'd like to take another call. Can we have another call? Caller, you're on, Mason and Guest. Hello? Okay, so that caller may be gone. But, okay, let's go. Yes, Mason and Guest, welcome. Good night.
Hey.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Hello.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how are you gentlemen doing?
We're doing very well.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a little comment, please.
Certainly.
Yeah, I heard Mr. Wallace just suggest that it wasn't primarily because of we missed lots of catches. It was our band that let us down. Yes, I agree. But I also think that, for example, if he had taken catches in the first innings, Bangladesh could have scored 164. So even though we batted extremely poorly, I don't think we did ourselves any favors by our extremely sloppy catching. And my personal feeling is that Caribbean cricket is beset and surrounded by mediocrity, and I think it works into what I perceive to be our lack of a culture of excellence.
Interesting.
But I want to comment primarily, though, if I may. You want to comment on that before I make my
No, it sounds quite cogent, but I would hope that as a region, we would aspire to be excellent, as you suggested. But keep going.
Well, thank you. No, I want to comment on what I, in my opinion, was the poor standard of cricket commentary and comments in the region. Really, my opinion is that, I mean, if you're going to be doing cricket commentaries and so on international radio, you must at least have a basic command of the English language and some level of training in the skill of cricket broadcasting and so on. And I don't think that's what I heard coming out of Jamaica.
You are a rather eloquent caller, and I'm sure you would probably make a good commentator. But if you're saying do the present day commentators match up to John Allott or Tony Cozzi, I guess the answer is no. Yes, the vocabularies could be improved. The more picturesque descriptions and appropriate comments could be made. Also, sometimes the knowledge of the game. Today I heard someone on the radio mention a fine square leg, which I'd never heard of. And I'm not a cricketer, but I've never heard of a fine square leg. And, you know, various other things like that. But we do appreciate your call, and we're trying to get as many people in. So thank you very much, sir. Another caller.
You're welcome.
Yes, Mason and Guest.
Good night, sir.
Yes. How are you?
I'm good, you know. Season greetings, name.
Turn down your radio, sir. I love to listen to myself, but not necessarily consecutively over 5 minute delays.
That's not a habit.
Okay, make your point quickly.
Oh, yes. Good night, Doc.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good night, Doc. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Oh, yeah, first thing, season greetings, because I don't know if I will have another chance to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Appreciate
and
it.
And to Mr. Mason, I'm not hearing him, so if he's listening, I would just like to say Merry Christmas, Mr. Mason, and I hope we have a good New Year. Now, first thing, I'm a Black Rock man. Mr. Brafick, our captain, is a Black Rock man. But I can't understand him though. Anytime you have the amount of tests gives under your belt.
86.
You met 39 in 140 balls.
Well, that was the application that we had mentioned earlier. I guess that's a display of application, but not the results that we would like. Certainly Brathwaite's returns recently haven't been what we would like, and we did mention he's the highest rated West Indian batsman, but he does leave a lot of work to be done. So what's your next point, sir?
I could tell you what he's doing right now.
What is he doing?
Making bowlers bowl good. Putting bowlers on the spot. That they will bowl better and better, that the incoming batsman will bat up on a bowler that bowling extremely well. Now, can you help me with the five games to play? Any of them is in Barbados?
No, I don't think we're coming back to Barbados, but I'd have to check. But that's something you've given me some homework to do, and I will diligently.
Yeah, and the final one. A gentleman, I didn't pick up his name because I was having dinner, I could say, and I heard him, and I agree with him, whereby most of the senior cricket is studying the IPL. And in all their form of cricket, you could see that they believe that the main thing in cricket is fours and sixes.
Yeah.
But I would like them to sit back and take a look at what's going on in India and check the amount of West Indians that was on the field in the last IPL series.
Mm, yeah, thanks. Good point. Good point, sir. Neil, we'll get back to our cricket here locally. In the region. So you brought up the idea of the environment and also the motivations of the young players. But any more insight into what we've witnessed in over the last week and some?
Right. So you're talking about the Global Super League, that tournament.
Well, that too. We want to hear about that. So tell us about what, that.
Yeah, despite what, you know, if you look at, I'll start with the Global Super League first. It's a competitive tournament, but what it has shown, right, is exactly how we can benchmark against what's happening in different parts of the world, right? You look at some of our players, and the last game between the Warriors, who've got a lot of renowned players, international players, against Amsha, and you saw the difficulties they had with playing the short ball. And you juxtapose that against what's happening in the test match, right? You can see where some of our problems lie. And Philo and you guys have all spoken about that. Our players not being able to play, you know, good fast bowling, short right and deliveries and so on. And that is a clear indication of the way in which we're developing our players. Possibly it's the tracks, possibly it's just the mentality that is not there. I mean, when you look at some of the fast bowlers in the 90s, 70s, 80s, 90s, even into the early 2000s, right, the effort they would put into their game, right, their hunger and desire to bowl, you don't see that so much. You don't see fast bowlers demanding that ball and really looking to go out there, despite what sort of track there is, and really, you know, look to exploit it and bowl fast and bowl proper. And the batters, for example, are now lulling to a false sense of security, thinking that all they need to do is to set themselves up, looking to hit across the line and hit the big boundaries, and not playing proper cricket shots, not being fleet-footed enough to adjust to the pace and the bounce of tracks and so on. And this is clear. And the thinking as well is something that we need to look at. You're not seeing batters playing situation. He said, well, look, you know what? On this type of track, with this bowling, the score may not be 160 or 170. I cannot maximize in the power play. Maybe I need to bat deep, you know, get some time in, spend some time in the crease, and then accelerate once I'm in and well set. So those basic cricket nuances, you're not seeing it as much as you would have seen that in the past. And that, from a T20 perspective, into the 50 over and then onto test cricket, right, is a clear thread with what's happening with cricket in the region.
Okay, Neil, you're talking about cricket strategy, and we're going to go to a break and come back to that with you. Mason and Guest is brought to you by ESA Feel White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESA Feel White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy! Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Yes, again, welcome to Mason and Guest once again. And remember, you can contact us at 4341790. Neil, this is pretty interesting and philosophical. You know, talking about the intellectual and playing the situation and all that. So the Global Super League is going on. Just give us a quick synopsis of what's happened there. What stage are you at and you know, who's doing better?
Right, so the Victoria, Team Victoria, who's playing tonight actually, they're leading the tournament. They have won both their games. They beat the Warriors and then they got home against Calanders, or Rajput Riders, sorry. So they're leading in the tournament. They're actually playing tonight against the Calanders, and then they have to play Amsha. So chances are they will get to the final. I think they're playing pretty good cricket. Not a lot of well-known players, so to speak, but it's good to see young players coming and executing. Amsha played good, hard, fighting cricket, but they definitely now struggle to make it through to the finals. The Warriors have won their second game, so they're 2 out of 3, and possibly best place to get to that finals. I think from the organizer's point of view, Saints is playing in Guyana, they would want to see the Warriors playing on Friday night and not two foreign teams, so to speak. But what they have shown is that the teams playing in different environments, they're prepared to fight and fight deep and hard. And that's something that I think was a little bit missing in the CPL. Where when teams make low total, they tend to give up quite easy, especially after halfway through the stage when they find that, okay, the run rate is under six and manageable for the chase inside. So they just tend to go through the paces. But that has not been the case in this tournament. So that's a plus. Secondly, seeing bowlers operating at Providence Stadium, which people tend to think is a bit on the slow side, and actually roughing up batters, that is the fast bowlers, for example, that too is another clear indication as to where there's a will, there's a way. So hopefully, you know, those can be learning points for cricketers watching.
Okay. Darren, you made a point earlier as it related to Graves and his position and looking at Jason Holder and having the prospect of two all-rounders. But in your summation, you thought Graves was a batsman who bowled a little bit and you considered Jason to be a more genuine all-rounder. Looking at the two Josephs and Seals and Roach and all of that, how do you see us being able to really fit Jason, you know, back into this, back into the unit, back into a bowling unit here? I think you're muted still, Darren. Darren, you're muted.
Yeah, sorry about that. One of the changes that you could make is right at the very top with Lewis. I think you could use Athanase at the top, or you could use Greaves to push back up at the top because he has done it in the one-day series. That's the option.
Mm-hmm.
One of the fast bowlers will have to sit out if we should play in Pakistan for a spinner to come in the team. So that is another option. And Jason Holder fit enough and ready to play. Well, that would be another thing that the coach would have to think, which one of the seamers he would have to take out. Because in Pakistan, you're not going to find any pitch that will assist fast bowling right through a test match. It's going to be very nice for the first day and then gets down to the bat middle for the rest of the 3 or 4 days that the game will last. So I believe that, you know, how to manage that bowling unit is very, very key and important to what they're looking for, how they are planning to go up against oppositions like those. Okay. But when they got into a condition like what happened at Sabina Park and at Antigua, if you should travel around into England to play again or to New Zealand and those wickets that assist bowling, well, I can tell you, I wouldn't have changed from that four-prong attack at all.
Okay. Interesting that you talked about Louis and Athanase. I defer to Philo, but I did have the pleasure of watching Louis for a little bit early in his innings, and he didn't seem to me to know where his off stump was. He played at some balls he didn't need to play at, and he almost left alone a ball that bowled him, which suggests to me that clarity of thought, he didn't know where his off stump was, and he wasn't sure why he was playing at a ball outside the off stump that he wasn't trying to score on that he could have left. Philo, we saw in the last test match with India versus Australia, you saw India come back out after making a low score, and you saw the openers apply themselves and put on almost 200 runs there. So what do you think about the West Indian batsmen and their difficulties, but does not knowing which ball to leave and which ball to play and knowing where your runs are coming from, does that have a part to play in the result?
Yes, it does. When you look at batting requires scoring runs. Louis has scored a few some runs in the Super 50. Craig has not scored a lot of runs. Louis came out of Antigua the half century, and I found that going into Jamaica, he lacked confidence. And there's a guy in that West Indies camp called an analyst. And I would like to know if Louis and those guys sit with the analyst one-on-one and look at their dismissals. Because there's a trend in Louis' dismissals. Once the ball is on length and off stump, because he's not covering his off stump with his back foot, his left foot is going straight down the ball, the line, and his hands are leaving his body, he's edging the ball. But as an opener, you have to learn to leave the ball. There's something called a good leave as an opening batter. And Louis needs to learn to leave a lot of deliveries and wait until the ball comes in his zone. He likes a half volley, they will bowl a half volley. But in this Bangladesh setup, they hit the hard lengths often. And our batters don't like to block a lot of deliveries. They like to score. And they're trying to score. They get out. And we had 280-something runs to get today. And we want to knock them off on the fourth day. Nobody tried to apply themselves. Hodge batted, got a half century. But nobody else tried to apply themselves to say, well, let's go on to the fifth day. To me, they wanted to get the game finished today, which is madness as far as I'm concerned. So I think that our batters need to look at game awareness, situation, pitch conditions, opposition, and work the batting plan. You got 280 odd runs to score, bat session by session, get the game into the fifth day, and call for the roll on the fifth day. But no, we want to go helter-skelter and play shots, and our batting is not deep enough and consistent enough to bat that type of way. And that's where we're losing cricket matches. Our bowlers will bowl well. Once the services allowed them to, there was no Moti. He was given permission to play in the Global T20. But we saw that he had four seamers, four fast bowlers and a seamer, and it worked. But there's a need to have a spinner inside that attack because you have a fast bowler who is 36 years old. And the breaks between those matches are going to wear him down. There's only two test matches. They saw the effects. He got struck in the shoulder. His recovery period is short. But our batters need to understand that if they bat now, they give the bowlers a greater time to rest and recuperate so they can come fresh again. And that is not happening. And Louis needs to pay more attention to getting his off-stump corrected. He needs to know where that off-stump is. An opening bat again, the coffin slip all the time. It tells you something about his technique.
What do you think about Carty? He's good to watch sometimes, but tends to go hard at the ball. From what little you've seen of Carty, what do you think?
I played first-class cricket for Barbados. And the Leeward Island batters always go with hard hands. Carty's from the Leeward Islands. So he's from St. Martin, but he's a Leeward Islands cricketer. They go with hard hands. They stay back on the bat for the lot to hit the ball behind point. He's not a tall man. So hitting the ball square though because it's a shot. But in test match cricket, if you're going to stay that way, you've got to allow the ball to come to you. For a short man, he reaches at the ball. He reaches too much to hit the ball behind point, whereas he can let the ball come a lot closer and hit the ball up to mid-off and mid-on. When he looks at extra cover drive, he's a lot better. When he stays back and wants to hit the ball behind point, that is where he runs into trouble when his hands are very, very hard. And he needs to relax those hands a bit more so he can get timing on the ball. And I think that if we can correct, these are things that these guys need to work at when they go back to their territories, you know. Just work on getting their batting game right. All Carty is a batter. He's nothing else. His role is to score runs. And if I had anything to do with Carty, he would have to practice 3 days a week, 6 hours a day, 18 hours batting with the breaks in between. That is what he's supposed to be doing. So when we see him again, you can see that this man went away and work on his game. Pakistan is not going to be an easy trip, Doc. And we need Carty and those guys to come good in Pakistan once they're selected.
Okay, Don.
Yeah, I'm interested. I don't come from the West Indies. And listening to the experience of Philo just mentioned, and I picked up on it, he said, batsmen from the Leeward Islands traditionally go hard at the ball, is that right? And why?
Because they like to hit the cricket ball. They like to hit it. So the Leeward Islands players, they hit the ball, they hit at the ball, they lose a lot of power. You know, okay. That is how they play.
It's great.
There was one of the former Leeward Islands players who worked that kind of way was a guy called Stuart Williams. We used to call him a touch player. And he used to score a lot of runs because he was a little different. If you look at the Keith Attertons, Sir Richie Richardson, those guys go hard at the ball, hard. So and that has been the form, that's been the way they play. If you look at how Brandon King plays from Jamaica on a hard pitch, he hits at the ball hard. But anytime there's anything in the surface, Brandon King is going to get nicked off because they can't adjust their bat speed. And that is something that bothers me. Because you have Indians in Australia, and they have to adjust their bat speed to the quicker pitches. So it's just about working out the scenarios that you're in, the conditions. And I don't think our batters are nailing down the conditions in which to bat in order to be successful.
I find that fascinating. That's a great insight. It's great to learn for someone like me. And of course, I would reiterate what you said earlier about if you're going to go and play in Pakistan, you may need to play the ball late. You need, certainly as an opening batsman, you've got to readjust and you can't afford to go hard. So that's a really interesting insight and something that two cricketers both agree on there. Loved learning about the Leeward Islands there. Love it.
Neil, we really saw in this match, though, that
there's a
at the beginning, there was, just a minute, Darren. At the beginning, we saw a young fast bowler induce a collapse. And then in the final innings, we saw a left-arm spinner also do a similar thing. And even in the first innings, the spinners bowl economically and kept us in check while the damage was done by the quicker bowlers. So that's an interesting thing. It shows that we have difficulties with both fast and slow and spin bowling. Darren, what were you saying?
Yes, I was saying that Philo has summed up everything, which is good. It's a good critique on the players and how they treat themselves, why they're getting out and stuff like that. But I have been around a bunch of these current players year in, year out, because I play domestic cricket also with these youngsters. And one of the biggest things I've learned, there are some, I think they use that word to prescribe a situation or describe a situation with Chris Gayle some years ago, referring to him as a Don. These players are moving in cliques these days, and they don't listen to a man like Philo Wallis, a man like Gordon Greenidge, a man like Clive Lloyd, Richie Richardson. These young players don't want to hear a word from them. And I have understood lately, even Brian was around the West Indies team in South Africa and I think in Australia. And some of the comments that was made with a presence like Brian Lahr in the dressing room. These players, these young guys don't appreciate these legends who have done it before. And these are the things why most of them, I'm not saying that, most of them are struggling to adapt to situation and learning their craft to get to become better players. They believe in those guys who will come out today and make a 50 or 100 quick time in a T20 game, and then believe that is the same approach they can use into a test match. And these are the reason why we are having all these problems and all these things. And I believe there should be a time in which somewhere, somehow, they need to have, whether Weeper or who is responsible for these players or their managers, sit down with them and let them understand what is the real fundamental of things here to perform. Because we used to, older folks used to use wood fire to cook. We now have microwave, we have stove, we have all these things.
But we still cook.
The principle of cooking has not changed. The whole cricket technique has changed because 2020 comes around.
Yeah, Darren, what you're saying is that there's a generation gap and we're having difficulties bridging that generation gap. And I think Neil pointed that out when he mentioned the parent who wanted to have their child coached to win $1 million. And, you know, so the thing is, can the younger generation learn something from the older generation, but are they receptive to it? Do they respect, or are they aware of the history enough to want to listen and to be taught by someone who's older? And the thing is, if you don't respect, or if you're not aware of what someone who's older has done, then you can't really relate to them. You don't want to hear them. And that's something that we've always had. I suspect, Darren, that, and Philo, people said that about you guys when you were playing, because you guys came on at a time when West Indies were waning, you know, compared to when we were all conquering. And all these ideas that we have now, were also ideas of the past as well. But you know, getting back to this batting, I mean, I happened to see Athanas start his innings with a reverse sweep, which kind of surprised me. And then he seemed to be rather hurried and in a very aggressive, even though in a mood that didn't seem to be very effective. And then he was embarrassingly bowled through the gate by one from the left arm that came in and cleaned him up. Neil, I think looking at that innings from Athanas, even though you may not have seen it, I think that kind of sums up the dedication and you know that concentration that we were talking about that we hadn't seen. Neil, what do you think about concentration? You do have some youngsters that play in Guyana, and concentration is a big thing, isn't it?
Doc, it is a big thing. And you said I haven't seen him. I have seen Athanas got out. I don't have to see it, Doc. I've been watching him for the longest while, and I've seen him in the CPL coming out and trying to play shots that there's no need for him to play. And I commented on that since then, that why is it that this guy is trying to do something that he's not good at, right? He said he wants to bat. He had an interview. He said, you know, you like to bat like Lara, spent all day just batting. But you're not going to bat all day if you don't go out and try to start your innings with a reverse sweep and shots at you. That, you know, it's basically a pipe dream for many of our batters, playing on tracks that may not be conducive to those type of balls, those type of shots, especially when you just come in. Concentration, of course, is a big key. And Darren touched it in the head when he said players are not wanting to listen. And it goes back, in my view, and I repeat myself again, sorry if I'm redundant, it goes back to the environment in which we bring our cricketers up in. Right? Are we putting enough penalty on these cricketers at a young age? Right? You became a doctor, Dr. Ford. You have to pass all the exams. All the exams. If you didn't, they wouldn't pass you. Right? You're not allowed to be promoted unless you pass all the exams.
And we have continuing Darren medical education. So we have to stay up to date, current
learning as well.
And to show that we are able to carry out the task. Maybe we should get that sort of thing for cricket.
That's right. So if the players are not listening to older players, if they're not creating that environment, they don't have a welcoming environment, if the administrators have not, you know, created the environment in which the older players can still be listened to and respected by the younger players. If not, you know, it could affect your elevation if you're rude and so on and so forth. Then the players will come up thinking that, to use Darren Ward, that they're done, that they can do whatever they want. Because the fans are saying, you know, especially when they pick a horse, I'm going to back that horse and everybody else is wrong. My horse is always right. Hmm. Right? Now, let's look in Guyana, for example. And I'm going to go to Sherman at Mile.
Oh, I knew, right? You were going to go
and
there.
I looked at him at the CPL. You guys watched the CPL final, right? Shea Hope got out. They lost a couple of wickets. He was there. And there was an opportunity for him to bat deep and actually play in the role of a finisher. I don't know what people think finish is, but playing that role of a finisher. When I'm thinking finisher, I'm thinking of the Bevan guy from Australia, Hussey from Australia as well. And all those guys would play the situation and maximize all the way through to the end. He got out then and put his team under pressure. I looked him again in the game against Amsha, right? Just the other night. He alone left the shepherd the tail, and then he got out again and he was distraught. And I'm wondering if he remembers the many occasions when he gave his wicket away, right? In similar circumstances, no much that can come back to haunt you. So players, you know, how do we change that? That's my question to Darren and to Philo and all the others. What can we do to change the environment in which these players are coming up in? Or are we going to just allow generations after generations to come up in that environment? Right now, let's say the business of cricket, we're not doing too well. Our stock of plunge over the years in the IPL, we're not getting too many people out onto the field. And before you know it, the 10-10 leagues and all the leagues where they think they can run to and get a dollar will not be available to them. Because if you're not performing market forces, Doc, they're not going to help you. Right? So how can we stem this tide? It's a question that's been hanging in the air for 30 years.
Yes, it is a kind of a puzzle. But Mason and Guest is brought to you by ESA Field White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESA Field White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come.
open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Yes, and welcome to Mason Guest. And as you know, you can give us a call at 441-7920. We want to hear from you. And yes, Neil, we've been trying to answer that question for decades, and I don't think we're going to answer it tonight, but we can certainly try. But I want to say that we've seen Phil Simmons. We had concluded on two occasions that Phil was not the coach for us, and Phil brings a team here and you know, they win a match, something that hasn't been done for you know, 15 years or something. So Don, I mean, and Don, what do you think about the leadership and coaching? That may be one of the things that we don't look at. And I know sometimes Andrew may insinuate that maybe our ability to be coached might not be what we'd like it to be. But, you know, Phil has done very well here. So why can Phil do that? And he couldn't do it when he was with us.
Well, he certainly got a little bit of inside track about how to play, how to do well in the West Indies. But just going back about it, off a tangent, just slightly, I used a word much earlier in the evening. I chose it particularly carefully. My word I used was desire. We're not worried about skill. We're not worried about the talent. I go back to that desire. And I think coaches have to unlock, tap into a desire to do well, be it getting stuck, practicing a skill, getting behind it, which is part of coaching. A coach today in franchise cricket is quite different. You pump people's tyres up to make them feel good in franchise cricket. But in test cricket, you still unlock technique. You examine technique. It's called a test match because of the test that is attached to it. So, look, you know, when I look at perhaps your white ball coach for a period of time, what's his name, St. Lucia, Darren Sammy. There were parts of the time I felt frustrated with him because he couldn't get through to lads about the power play when it was, for me, doing a little bit. It was challenging. There was top draw bowlers bowling. If you kept losing 3 wickets per ODI in or a T20 in the power play, you're not going to win too many games. And I felt that was the case. But in test cricket, it requires an entirely different type of coach. You're not pumping people's tyres up. You're examining the technique of a player. And I think that is something that's quite different in test match cricket. And that is something I'm interested in. You're the academic doc. I'm not. Philo may not be. But I think I'll go back to using that word. Inner desire is probably paramount for me.
Okay, Don, I think we have a caller. welcome, good night to Mason and Guest.
Hey, good night to you, Don, and your panel.
Thank you.
Right. I want to make a comment on our batting.
Certainly.
For the whole series. I look at the guy that played reverse with Athanas.
Yeah.
You know, I just checked him in the first test. He got a good score. He scored 90-odd. And if you check his shot, like, man, player to get out at 90, you know.
Was it a scoop he tried?
A final shot, or yeah. Picks up over the keeper head.
Yeah.
No, that showed that he didn't care.
That reinforced, you know, that Darren's point about T20 and not exposing young impressionable minds to T20. So
these guys have to know who they're representing. They're playing test cricket, and they're representing the West Indies, the whole Caribbean, you know?
Well, definitely, you know, that test also showed that, you know, patience and decision-making is really important for our batsmen, because two of our batsmen didn't didn't reach 100, unfortunately. So, you know, Louis was close and he got out too unnecessarily. So it was a parallel that we saw there.
Completely, I swiped and I told people that they would not get back to that score again. The Bangladeshis are not going to let them get back there again. Because they had to look at them and see that they, you know, they don't back with the application, nothing to do. They just.
So you've lost confidence in us then, that's what you're saying. Yeah, I get that, I get that. Okay, caller, well, thanks for making your contribution. Let's take another call. Good night, Mason and guest.
Good night. Doctor, good night to you and your guest.
Good night to you too.
You listened to that cricket show from the BBC near Stamp?
No, I actually haven't had the pleasure. I've listened to TMS, but not available in our region that easily now, but make your point.
Well, I listen to Stump every weekend. And a couple of weeks ago, I heard Johnny Greer saying that when he leaves the West Indies, he leaves them in good financial shape. I can't remember if he said it was $42 million US that or $42 million Caribbean dollars. So I say that to ask you, to tell you, that the West Indies can't be in a financial bind. When in your response to a fellow who spoke about the finances of the West Indies and paying out money for the 50-over final.
Well, there was a time when it was said that we were not a viable ongoing concern economically, and I think that Johnny did mention that we were in a good position because of the TV revenues, and a lot of that money is really to help us during two or three lean years that are expected. So even though we do have lots of money in the bank, we won't be earning much revenue. We haven't had a significant new sponsorship conquest. We do talk about you know, TV rights that we have gleaned, but we still haven't been able to show that those rights make the balance sheet any better. So, you know, our conquest, as it goes with marketing and otherwise, we haven't really been able to show that it benefits us. So Johnny is right, but in some respects, I don't think he is right. He just means that we have enough to just get by. But
anyway, let me say this to you though. When I watch these West Indians by, right, it really irritates me how someone get out. Can you imagine in a Test cricket a man is 97 and taking a chip down the wicket to bring out his century in glory and fine style?
Maybe that was a childhood dream he had, and he wanted to bring it up in style, and it just.
But he could have brought up in singles, just like Evan Lewis. Mm-hmm. He's 97 too. I want to hit a six to get a century. I anyway, man. You guys have a great evening.
Don't give up, sir. Don't give up. You know,
but I'm not giving. I love West Indies cricket too much.
Yeah. Good. Well, guys, we could talk about the test match for the whole night. But we do have an ODI and a T20 series, and recently we had the ODI team, and that team is at variance with the last one, only with Jangu and Graves coming in for Walsh and Jewel Andrew. And we did find out last week that some of our youngsters under 25s are going to India to hopefully learn a bit more about spin bowling, and some of the coaches will learn about spin bowling, and maybe we could solve our spin bowling issues with these youngsters, even though most cricketing countries don't consider young cricketers to be, well, usually they're younger than under 25s, but I do understand we develop at a slow rate. But I want to just segue into the T20, into the ODI series and maybe the white ball series, and ask you, Philo, how do you think we'll do? I mean, you know, these white ball series, the spinners come into play, and, you know, it's scoring at a rate, and it's, you know, how do you think we're still formidable enough to beat Bangladesh?
Yeah, Doc, I think we're still formidable to beat Bangladesh. But I want to, before I press on, I just want to, you know, when I played for Barbados and West Indies, that we always had a former cricketer as the manager, a man who was of stature and sound presence in that squad. We have a lot of managers now that we don't even know their names. You don't hear them speak, nothing. And that, I think, is wrong. And that needs readdressing at CWA and the franchise level as well. The one they scored...
But men of such stature are aging, Philo. Men of such stature,
but
maybe.
That are not so aging. All of us are aging. All of us are aging. But you need to...
You don't have to tell me.
What you have. Stop. So we're not incorporating what we have. Pumpkin season to the trick. The one this one obviously Doc speaks for itself. Just unfortunate that Joel Andrew has been left out because he was the talk of the town just about 2 or 3 months ago. But obviously Amir Jangu is in on the back of a strong super 50 competition. He got a lot of runs. And then obviously, you know, there's no Hayden Watts Jr. So Justin Graves has come in there. So it is obviously that they're saying, look, these guys perform in the Super 50 competition and we will select them. But no, we don't have a press conference to hear how the squad is selected. Nothing. It's just the squad being announced. It's just unfortunate for the two guys who've been left out. So we're hoping, and this one, these games are playing in St. Kitts, are not a big ground. It's not the biggest ground in the world. So I would expect a lot of runs to be scored in St. Kitts. And then they move to St. Vincent and the Grenadines for the T20 matches. But the ODI is obviously, we expect West Indies to hit the ground running. We don't know how much work the ODI squad has done since the last series against England, but we're hoping that they're in St. Kitts and they hit the ground running up there, get some good practice sessions and take on the Bangladeshis. The Bangladeshis will be brought up from the Test series, so we'll see how they go in the ODI series. But the ODI series, obviously, the white ball is supposed to be our stronger format, both the ODI and the T20. And I would expect us to beat Bangladesh in both the World Days and the T20s. But you cannot count out Bangladesh because, as we saw in the Test matches, in the Test match, they can come back and beat you soundly. Iran is going to be in that one day squad, so he can make a difference if he plays on the surface that is offering something. So it's going to be a good, I think it's going to be a competitive 50-over competition and T20 series.
Well, one thing I wonder is if the 50-over batting might be better than the Test batting. I mean, you have Hope, King, Carty, Chase, Lewis, Hepmeyer, Rutherford, Jangu, Ford, the two Josephs, Moti and Seals. So Darren, are we gonna do better in the white ball series?
Well, yes, I expect that. Just tough luck for the two guys who didn't make it in the squad. The two guys that came in, they have shown that they want to be amongst the West Indies setup, and these are rewards of showing your worth when you're playing in the first class arena. I am not too concerned when it comes to 50 over and T20 with this West Indies setup. It seems as if that is the way the team has transcended to. When you look at Darren Sammy bring a different style and approach to the game. The guys, when you look at them, they're more relaxed and more happy as a player. Even when they're losing, that you don't see anything that shows any sad moments going by. He has a way of motivating the players and to get them to do what he wants them to do. It's just for the West Indies team now to go out there and demoralize this Bangladeshi team. Bangladesh seems to be a team of many surprises over the years. You know, you might think they're down and out, you know, and then they come back and put up a fight. And I think that Darren Sammy and the guys in this squad knows perfectly well that these are the type of guys that they're going up against. And I believe that they're going to come and come very hard at them. And that will be a good showing for West Indies.
Neil, this is our stronger format on paper. So with the white ball series, well, what are your expectations?
Well,
this is Neil. Darren. We heard you just now. Neil, what are your expectations?
It's fine, Darren, but the white ball is supposed to be part of our series, but we've not been as consistent. Yes, we won the 50 overs against England when we lost the T20. But then Bangladesh will come with a different type of bowling to us, basically. There'll be a trial by spin in many instances. And of course, they've got some fast bowlers who can deliver the goods, right? And Bangladesh as well, they're looking for, you know, positioning on the ICC table. So they'll be fighting tooth and nail a lot harder than that. I mean, England did not bring the full strength team here, not taking anything away from the win by the West Indies, right? So they would have had an edge and advantage basically on that England side to some extent. But this Bangladesh side will fight, and they will look to this series to really benchmark to see exactly where they are. So it'll be tough. It will be tough. And as I said, it will be a trial by spin. And, you know, Bangladesh have a good think tank there. We talk about coaching and people being responsive to coaching. Again, are we creating an environment for our players to be responsive to coaching as the game is being done? So it'll be a good thing. Let's wait and see what happens.
Yeah, but can we get players like Hope or even a King, you know, when Lewis may not have been a test player, but there seems to be a bit more oomph in the batting in this 50 over squad. So, I mean, can we get our best team into the test team? Or I guess the question is, Philo, do we have our best batting team in the test?
I think Don called a word called desire. That's the word you mentioned, Don. Desire.
Well, that was the word Don mentioned. Yeah,
desire. You see, the thing is, Doc, is that all players or the batters in the white ball squads have the desire to play red ball cricket. But the DOC said months ago, you don't have to play red ball cricket to play test cricket. So you don't have to play test cricket to play ODI or T20 cricket. But are these guys who are in the ODI squad who make runs, not consistently, but who make runs, do they have the desire to play red ball cricket, to play test match cricket? Now, this first class cricket, I think, starting in January, it's going to be interesting to see how many of those guys who play white ball cricket for West Indies are going to put their hands up and say, look, I want to play some red ball cricket. It's going to be quite interesting. So I don't think that the guys who are playing the white balls for West Indies, I don't think they have a desire. Maybe Watson Chase will play a few matches. But if you ask Watson Chase if he wants to play test match cricket, even Chia Hope, those are the two that keep coming up all the time. But a conversation I keep saying, do the selector have those conversations? The selector, does he have those conversations with those players? Are you interested in playing red ball cricket? And what has to be done to get them into that mode? And can they switch from white ball to red ball? These are the questions I need to ask. There's no selection panel. There has to be the head coach that will ask the questions of these players. Are you interested in playing red ball cricket to help our test squad?
Okay.
And well, if the answer is no, we will just have to fight. We have to fight with who we have and get them to perform.
Okay, we'll take a call now.
Hello, good day, Doc.
Yes, sir.
Last week, Bannon, I think the wicketkeeper fellow was on the air. And he said that the West Indies fast bowlers put fear in Bangladesh heart. But I want to know who put fear in the West Indies heart this evening. The West Indies got back two sessions.
Yeah. 50 overs.
Got back two sessions.
He batted exactly 50 overs, and we didn't make overs. Enough runs for even a 50 over match.
Don't you feel the West Indies players interested in test cricket, or they're just going, they're just playing for the money? Tell me truth. Don't hide nothing. Come clear.
Okay, well, I'm sure they have an interest. There are match fees. There's bragging rights. There's a legacy. There's stats. There are all sorts of things. This is an international game and a professional game, so they must have that desire.
But they're not getting the public what we want to see.
But the public is not there.
But we want to see good cricket. And we ain't seeing it.
There were just a bunch of empty seats at the two test matches, and you know, the only time we see people in seats, maybe CPL, maybe if England comes, the fans seem to have left cricket, even though we're everyone else's favorite second team. We don't even seem to be our favorite first team in the West Indies. So.
I told Andrew earlier in the year, West Indies lose their status. We are too poor. You get the 71 for one and get both for 140 somebody and telling me that we improving. Doc, we are not improving. You know what the problem, Doc? When these men get paid, the police should go the pocket and arrest them for doing foolishness. I'm serious. When they get paid, police should go to the pocket and arrest them. We can't go and full neck out then.
All right. Thank you, caller. Well, Darren, the crowds weren't there. I mean, is it that Jamaicans have deserted cricket, or has cricket deserted Jamaica? Darren?
Very good question. Very good question. I don't know. The most cricket I've ever seen playing is played in Jamaica. We haven't had a month or a week. Even through COVID, cricket has been, it's coming to me, it's like it's on its rise. I've never seen so much cricket being played. But when it comes to test match cricket, there is nobody there. There's no interest there. And I am working with some guys now. I'm running a bowling clinic. And I'm working with some fast bowlers, about 12 of them. And it's as if you have to motivate them in a particular light and a particular way for them to see what it's like, or what I have experienced as a test cricketer, or what the world is expecting of them if they get there. Now, on the other hand, when it comes to fans, the fans is not wanting to learn or to know about cricket. They already know and they learn about what it entails. But is the losing factor in which I believe most of these people is shying away from. They don't want to give up a day just to get out there, and then they hear what has happened today, like what happened today at Sabina Park. 70 odd for one, and then, you know, you're all out, you can't come back tomorrow. Those are disappointing factors, and I believe we have to live in the reality of the minds of the people who support cricket. And it's the mere fact that we are losing. And on the other hand, there was something happened in 2005 with Sawan, Gale, and those guys. After we lost the game at Sabina Park, they went into the mound and partying and doing all sorts, and it sent a bitter message.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that players, to me, who did not play in that time, still have that proud mentality that, you know, it's like there is nothing happen when you lose. It's like, you know, you don't care. And when fans see you in a position where you don't care, they ain't going to support you. It's like somebody being rich today and acting as if he's the most mighty person in the world, and then he gets poor tomorrow. Nobody will actually help you to get back up on your feet because you're a boss. And these are the things that is hurting West Indian cricket, is that a lot of us who play the game don't appreciate the fact that we're a chosen few who got the opportunity to represent the region.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
That is one of the bitter tears that leaves people out. When we lose, the way we act after losing a game doesn't show that we have that passion for the game or get that hurt of losing. It's like just another day.
Mm.
And now that TV rights has come in and that there is no gate receipts, I hear people telling you, players is saying it, we're not business boy because you're not PAWE. These are wrong quotations. And until we learn to put them into a huddle where they can learn to have self-respect and then respect the grounds that they're on, we're going to find it very difficult to bring back those cricket lovers to the park.
All right. So 12 minutes left on the show. Mason's guest is brought to you by ASA Field White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASA Field White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Yes, welcome back to Mason and Guest. And, you know, we were just having a talk with Darren, and Darren, you mentioned that public celebration after defeat, left a bitter taste in the in the eyes of the fans, and maybe, you know, that was really difficult. Neil, you're sending us a message. What's your final contribution, I guess, you're going to make before you go off?
Yes, you know, the point that we've been speaking on are all well and all relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a difficult road that we have to climb. And the desire must be there. We have got to try to find it. But my question is, are we really looking in the right areas? The players do not bring up themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The players are allowed to behave the way they are. So maybe it's time we really start focusing on who's administrating our cricket.
So you think the discipline isn't there then?
We have the responsibility, of course, right, of bringing up our cricketers from a young age. Look, if you're telling me that a man can just walk into the side and choose what he's going to play and he's not available, then my question is, who's in control here? Yes, players have a right to do what they want, but it's your cricket. And if we bring up enough cricketers and apply good coaching strategies, I think across the region, really expose people and allow everybody a fair chance and have rigid discipline, you will find that you may have bench strength. So when that one guy decides to leave, you know, you can have guys who can come in and prepare to play with that desire. We've got to look for the players who have the desire to learn and to represent the West Indies first and foremost. You're not going to stop them earning. I mean, I'd be hypocritical of me or any one of us here to say that, you know, you want players to go out to make money. They have to live. And we've got to find that balance. But the focus must be, you know, on representing the West Indies first and others. I mean, you look at India. Up to now, no Indian players allowed to play in anybody else's leagues. And the question is, why? We're going to say India have lots of money, whatever the case is. And that's fine. That's the reason, of course. Right? But they still keep fighting to keep their players. And the other thing before I go, how do we explain Jasper? How do we explain those young cricketers from India who can play T20 and go out and score big test 100? Yeah. And what are we missing? That's where we leave it to you gentlemen to figure out that one for me. Why are we these guys coming out as young players, you know, playing T20 cricket and going out and playing test cricket with the desire and the will to fight?
Yeah, they are definitely more adaptable. Neil, I do appreciate your questions and your contribution. So you're saying you're leaving us already? Or you're going to stay to the end?
Yes, I have another plan. But I'd certainly join again once you guys have me. And good night
definitely.
To
Don, Phil, thanks for coming. Yeah.
Guys, stay well and season's greetings.
Season's greetings to you as well.
Okay. Yeah, well, we just have a few minutes left and we could talk about that all night. But I know, Philo, you did mention about Haley and Miss Dutton, and there were some BBL contributions that we can be proud of. I mean, it's good to see the ladies going out there and making us proud. And I think Philip Spooner had suggested that Hayley Matthews is the most influential cricketer in the West Indies. That's a discussion for another time. But tell us about how happy you are about what happened with the women's Big Bash.
But I think when you look at the contribution of Hayley Matthews to women's cricket across the globe, it is significant. And obviously to be part of that franchise that won the women's section of the BBL is good. DeAndre Dutton has also been part of that franchise, and the two of them have combined really well. And when you look at Hayley's contributions, you can see that she's grown in stature and she has a lot of confidence. She continues to show a good sign of maturity. Coming from Barbados, coming from the West Indies, where we keep complaining we don't have a lot of facilities. Obviously, women's cricket is not really as potent as it should be. And I'm hoping that the territorial boards can push women's cricket a bit more. And you can see that. So coming from all these disadvantages in the region, top of the class, I think it's fantastic. And along with DeAndre Dutton, who just came back into international cricket, I think it's commendable for both of them. And hopefully they will continue to do well and encourage other young women to push the bar to get up to that level of international status. ICC has announced women also will be playing some test match cricket coming up in the future. And these are things that the territorial boards need to look at to develop and hone the skills of these young women who want to call themselves professional cricketers. And I commend both of them, and I hope that they continue to do well and keep women's cricket on the lips of the many pundits and obviously pull the rest of the young women through to get them up to the standard where they are at, where they can actually command dollars in the various franchise leagues around the world. So I want to congratulate both of them and obviously the franchise that they play for in Australia to lift in the trophy.
Yeah, Darren, I hope that you'll be training some women sometime. But on the 6th of December, CWA is supposed to have a meeting dealing with the governance reforms given out by the Wabi report, and specifically restructuring the board of directors, enhancing shareholder engagement, and also looking at the operational side. And I hope that we can get some reform if it will make CWA more effective and better at managing our cricket. But Darren, you talked about this fast bowling clinic that you have. Tell us a little bit about it, you know, just 2 minutes about it so we can find out what's been happening there.
Well, what happened is I play in the local competition with some youngsters. But from time to time, I find myself teaching one or two, working out their actions, straightening their wrists and stuff like that. And there are about three guys who came up to me, wanted for me to coach them, and I start doing it randomly. And then the numbers grow onto 12. What is now happening, it is growing even bigger now. People been calling me from all sectors now. And I am putting straightforwardly now a cricket clinic started in January. I'm working in St. Elizabeth, then February into Manchester, and March into Clarendon, and continue right around Jamaica. Want to make sure we have at least 20 fast bowlers in which we can get them into the right helm of the game, where they can come out and produce. At the moment, the guys I'm working with, it's basically their action and stuff like that, working out to get them, you know, to make sure everything is there in their biomechanics is perfectly fine.
All right, and I wish you luck with that. And, you know, it's always good for the former cricketers to give back. I mean, you mentioned the divide between the generations, and it's good that you can continue to try to find ways to reach these younger players. And I know when Philo is back here, he'll be trying to do the same, and we all have to do our part. But we've had a quite a good show this evening. We looked at the second test, which unfortunately the West Indies lost, and we ventilated and dissected it down to the bone. And we also had a look at the 50 over team that the West Indies have as well. And I'd like to thank you, Darren, for being a part of the show, and of course Philo. And we had Don Topley and Neil Barry. It was another edition of Mason and Guests on Voice of Barbados 92.9, and I'm Dr. Andrew Ford, and it was wonderful being here. And guys, thanks for the contribution, thanks for being a part of the discussion, and I'd like to say goodbye to all of our listeners and have a good night.